Great. All right. Well, I just wanted to say something about what I'm wearing today. In the past, before I took this position as senior pastor, whenever I would come up to preach as a guest speaker, I would have some cultural dress on, some cultural robe on. And people would ask me, so when you start, are you going to wear something different every single week? And I said, I don't know, maybe, maybe not, I don't know. Today, though, I'm wearing just what I used to always wear before I became the senior pastor. After I became a senior pastor, you would see me here with a tie and everything. But today, I'm just wearing this. And I was going to wear shorts because that's what I used to wear. But my wife convinced me to wear something else. Why am I wearing this? Why am I wearing this? Because I want to remind you guys that before I became the senior pastor, I was one of you guys just out there. I was on the third floor. I was one of you guys. And I was not a nobody, but I was a nobody, you know? We were on equal levels. In a sense. There was nothing special about me, but we were able to have fellowship together, and we were brothers and sisters, and I was able to look to you, get to know you, pray for you. You were able to pray for me, and that's how it was. And I want to remind you guys that even if I stand up here giving the message, there's nothing special about me. I'm not some holier person because I stand up here. I'm the same as you. I am a sinner. I need your prayers, and I will pray for you also. And so that's what I want to remind you guys, that today as we talk about the covenant community, that I am one of you guys. We're all together. We're one body together, and we're going to be talking about this thing. For the last few weeks, we've been talking about what the early church was like. We've been going through the book of Acts, jumping here and there, but going through the passage to find out what the book of Acts talks about with regard to what the early church was like. So we began by talking about the gospel, because the gospel is the thing that drives everything that we do. But then starting from 2 weeks ago, we started talking about what did the church actually look like back then. And what we found out was that they had four characteristics that was described in Acts chapter 2. Number one, the teaching of the apostles. They were devoting themselves to the teaching of the apostles. And we talked about that the last 2 weeks. Remember last week's little acronym? It's TOF. Remember that? We talked about teaching, obedience, and then how we fail to obey. Right? So, but we talked about how we need to be devoted to the apostles' teaching. Today and next week, we're going to be talking about fellowship. And then afterwards, we're going to talk about the breaking of the bread. And then we're going to talk about prayers. So that's what we're going to be doing for the next few weeks. All right, well, today we're going to be talking about fellowship, and the title is Covenant Community. And the first question that I want to start off with and ask you guys is, how many of you heard of the accusation that the church is filled with a bunch of hypocrites? How many of you guys have heard that before? Okay. Some of us, a lot of us are raising our hands. I see someone in the back going, yeah, I've heard that before. Why do people say it? Why do people accuse the church of being filled with a bunch of hypocrites? Perhaps for some of them, not for all of them, but perhaps for some of them, it's because they've met a Christian, whether they knew them well or not. They've met someone who called themselves a Christian who didn't live like a Christian. Right? And usually it's because they've been hurt by that person. So they say Christians are a bunch of hypocrites. Well, as we think about that, what we could also think about is there are a lot of people that move from church to church, right? Maybe some of us here are sitting here because maybe we were at a different church and something happened there and you decided to move churches and you ended up here. I've heard of people in the past that are here at Friendship, and then after some time passes, for whatever reason, they decide to go to Grace Baptist, and then they spend some time there, and then whatever happens, they decide to come back to Friendship, and then every few years, they go back and forth, right? And that might be some of us here, And that's okay. I'm glad that you guys are here. Not to say anything bad about Grace Baptist. I know the pastor there. We have a personal relationship, and we get together here and there. And so that's a great church too. But for some of us, we do that. We go back and forth. Why do we do that? Well, this is not the reason for all of us, but for some people that do that move, it's because we've been hurt by someone. We've had some conflict with someone in the church, and we just feel like we can't stay at this church anymore, and we have to move. I'm sure some of us have felt that hurt before. Maybe you've decided to stay. That's great. Maybe you decided to move. That's okay. But I'm sure that many of us have been hurt by people from the church sometime in the past. Now, at our church here, we don't want to be that kind of church, right? I mean, we want to be a church that really represents the love of Christ. And so the big question for today is, how do we grow to become a church that God intended? How do we grow to become a church that God intended? And so the way that we're going to answer that is, number one, we're going to try to understand what a covenant community is. We have this word covenant community. Sometimes you might hear this word covenant community. But we want to actually talk about what that is today. Number two, we want to understand the dangers to our covenant community. What are the dangers that might exist among us? And number three, we're going to go through some practical steps about how to build up our covenant community. All right? So number one, we're going to be talking about covenant community. And I want to say that when I talk about the covenant community and the activities of the covenant community, what we're actually talking about is fellowship. Okay, so we want to be devoted to fellowship. So to learn more about this, let's open up our Bibles to Acts chapter 4. Again, if you have your Bibles, that's great. If you have your cell phones with the Bible app, that's okay. If you don't have a Bible, you can look on the screen, or if you prefer a hard copy, there are copies in front of you. Acts chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 32, and we're going to go to chapter 5, verse 11. And just as you guys are turning there, just to give a little bit of background information, it's kind of interesting. Back in Acts chapter 2, it talks about what the early church did. And then after chapter 2, it goes on to talk about different topics through the next few chapters, and it describes for us what that actually looked like. So when it talks about fellowship in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it mentions how they were devoting themselves to fellowship. In today's passage, we see that it kind of fleshes that out. How did that fellowship actually look like? What did it actually look like? All right, so that's what we're going to be going through today. Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 32. This is the reading of God's word. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who is also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property. And with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came upon all who heard of it. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, "Tell me, whether you sold the land for so much?" And she said, "Yes, for so much." But Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. This is the reading of God's word. Amen. We're going to be talking about how they devoted themselves to fellowship today. And we want to start off by talking about the covenant community. As we look at Acts chapter 4, verse 32, let's see how it starts off. It says, "Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul." We want to stop right here. We have to remember, how many people were gathered at this time? It says the whole number of people, the full number of those that believed were together. How many people were there? Well, if you look back a few chapters, you'll find that there were already about 5,000 people. And at the beginning of chapter 4, verse 4, it says that 5,000 people were now believing in the Lord Jesus. There's so many of them, but it says that they were of one heart and one soul. How can 5,000 people be of one heart and one soul? But that's what it said. Let's think about what that means. It means perhaps that the church that gathered together, they were not close friends, but that they were family, and they knew that they were family. They're family because they have the blood of Jesus, not because they had the same blood flowing through their veins, but they had the blood of Jesus that covered all of them. There, you know, like people come into a church and they think like, I want to find a church where I could find people that I could feel close to. I want to find a church where I could find people that I can become good friends with. But I don't know if the church is supposed to be a place where you're looking for friends. I think the church more is supposed to be a place where we are able to help each other and look out for each other and grow together because we are a family. How many of you guys have been to maybe a family gathering with all your relatives? For some reason, all of your relatives have gathered together, and you start to meet your parents' cousins and their children, and you've never met them before, but you know that they're part of your family. How many of you guys have been in a situation like that? A good number of us. Good number of us. Yeah, I've been in a family situation like that, or a family gathering like that, where I've met a bunch of people, and I'm like, I don't know this person. But my parents tell me this person is this and that person. Okay. Well, I don't want to spend time with them. I'm only going to see them tonight. And then we're never going to see each other again, you know. But within this family, is that the type of attitude we're supposed to have? I don't think so. I think we're supposed to remember that Christ shed his blood for us as a community. We are a community here. And even though we might not know each other well, but we are gathered here together every single week. And we need to be concerned for each other. In that sense, they gathered together in one heart and in one soul. Well, much of what we do as a community is done or should be done as a community. Okay, so every time we get together, not only should we be gathering for worship, but everything we do it as a community, not as individuals. When we come here as a church and we begin to sing these songs and we begin to pray, are we doing these things just as an individual coming before the Lord? No, we do everything that we do together. That's why we even have things like the liturgy, where we read things together, where we confess our sins together. It's not just an individual activity where we say, "Lord, forgive me for what I've done." But when we do the liturgy together, when we say our prayer of confession together. We're coming before the Lord together and we're saying, we are a community here looking to you together, God. We worship you together. We confess our sins together. That's what we're doing week after week as a community. I hope that we, whenever we come together, we're not just thinking, I am a Christian, so I am here participating in this church. I hope we're not thinking about our individual selves only. I hope that we keep in mind that we are a community here together. If you look at much of what the NT, the New Testament, talks about, there are a lot of commands in there that have to do with our relationship with one another. And so, it's important that we keep this idea of community in mind, that we here at FPC are a community. Even our children are a part of this community, right? Even our children are part of this community. When I was back in America, I was at a church where we're kind of small and we had community groups. And I was in this one community group and it was based on location. This was the Los Angeles County community group. This was the Orange County community group. So I was part of the Los Angeles County community group. And some time passed by and a bunch of people started leaving this community group and a bunch of other people started coming in. And I stayed committed to this community group. And you know what I found myself in? I found myself in the married couples community group. This was when I was still single. And so I see all these community group. I see all these people in this community group with kids. You know, they're all married. Some of them weren't. Some of them didn't have kids. But I was there, and I was just hearing all their comments about what married life is like, and about what raising children was like, and it was good. It was good. I mean, I kind of felt out of place a little bit. But as I kept going and as I was a part of that community, I began to learn about what it was to care for not my own children, but how we as a community can care for our children together. And so it's important. It's important not to only think of each other here, but then also to look at the children that are a part of our community. We recognize that the children are a part of our community here. All right, so we are a community, but we are not only just a community, but we are a covenant community. So in verse 32, again, it says, "Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own." All right, so let's think about that portion now. It says, "No one said." What is that talking about? It means that they actually made a commitment. A commitment. If they had 5,000 people there, anyone could have said anything. But they all agreed together because they were of one heart and one soul. They all agreed together that we will not declare that anything we have is our own. We're making a commitment to say that anything I have belongs to everyone else. It was a commitment that they made. And so when we talk about a covenant community, we're talking about how we are committed to one another. We don't just gather together as individuals. We gather here together as a church, as a local church, with the mindset that we want to be committed to each other. If a person misses a Sunday, we should be able to notice that. If a person is not coming out to a community group, we should be able to notice that. We should recognize who the people are that usually sit around us, because I know you guys sit in the same place every single week. You should notice when there are visitors among us to say hi, welcome to our church. Right? That's what a covenant community is about. We are committed to each other and we know who we are. The sad thing is, as the elders and I were talking in the past, we would say and we would confess, this is our sin. The sin is that we would look around here and it's difficult for us to say that we know every single person in this church. And I know that's kind of a big commitment for us, but I just want to confess to you guys that that's something we're working on. We want to get to know you guys. We want to get to know every single person here. Help us out also, so that we would know who you are. Come and introduce yourselves to us. But that's what we need to become, a church that's committed to one another. This is related to everything that the Bible talks about in terms of our relationship with the Lord. The reason why we would even want to have a commitment to each other is because we have this committed relationship with the Lord. But then the thing is that we are not always so committed to the Lord, right? A lot of times we fail. A lot of times we sin. A lot of times we break our part of the commitment to the Lord. But the good news is, no matter what, no matter how much we break our promises to God, God will remain faithful to us. It's like an analogy that someone showed me one time. Two hands holding each other like this. And God is the one holding us, and we're trying to hold on to God, but there's so many times that we'll let go, and we're like, God, I can't do it anymore. This is too hard. This life is too hard. I don't know if I could trust in you anymore. But then what the Bible tells us over and over is that God will keep his promises and he will hold on to us. And if we just realize that, we can put our trust in him again because we see how great and how faithful our God is. And because of this kind of relationship between us and God, God calls us to that kind of relationship to each other as well. That even if there are people that are failing among us, even if there are people that are falling away, that we'll reach out our hand and say, look, we still got you. We're still here for you. That's what a committed covenant community is about. Now, what that means is that there's something that we call membership here in our church. And we've been announcing that we're going to have membership classes soon. And the idea of membership, I think some people might have the wrong idea of what membership is about. Membership, people think like, oh man, if I join membership, if I go and commit to that class and then I sign my name on a piece of paper and I say that I'm a member of this church, then it's almost like I'm getting married to this church and I have to be here for the rest of my life and it's just, oh, I don't know, that's too big of a commitment for me. Some of us might have this kind of attitude. Or some of us, we might think, oh, I have a church back at home and I'm leaving in 6 months, so I don't know if I could be committed to this church. And so I'm not going to join this church. I'm not going to be a member of this church. Well, that's not what membership is about. Membership is basically you come to a church wherever you're located. Wherever you're located. You come to a church and you might check out some churches for some time, but then after a time you commit to one church. And when you say, I want to commit to this church, what you're saying is, I want to become part of the life of this church. And that's what membership is all about. That's all membership is. Membership is just saying, I am here, I want to attend this church, I want to commit to attending this church, and I want to become a part of the life of this church. That's what membership is about. It's not this huge thing like you're part of our church for the rest of your life and you cannot leave. You know, that's not what it's about. Membership is, I come here and I'm committing myself to this church and I want to commit myself to the people here. That's what it is. And so I encourage you guys to join membership because that's all the confession is about. And I want to remind everyone that membership, you don't necessarily need to be a Presbyterian yourself. At our church, we just require our leadership to be in agreement or supporting our Presbyterian views. But if you want to be a member of this church, you don't have to hold Presbyterian views. We just want to know that you're a Christian. We just want to know that you believe in Jesus Christ, that you have the gospel in your heart. All right, well, I want to speak to the people that aren't believers among us here. If you're not a believer, it's okay. We encourage you guys to continue to attend our church. And you don't have to commit to our church. That's okay because there's no requirement like that for you. And we're just glad that you're here. We're just glad that you're here learning and growing and learning and understanding what the church is about. For those of you that are believers, though, for those of you that are believers and you've been looking for a church and you haven't committed to a church and it's been like half a year to a year, if that's you, I encourage you guys to make a commitment. Because one thing I've noticed is that you cannot grow as a Christian. You cannot grow as a Christian if you're trying to be an individual Christian. You have to be a part of community. If you are a member, I mean, if you have been attending our church and you are committed to our church, I encourage you guys, just join membership. It's the same thing as what you're doing right now, but you're just saying, I don't want that title, I want that title, but it doesn't mean that much more. And if you have a church back at home that you're going to be going back to, if you're here only for 3 months or 6 months, I still encourage you, commit, be a member of this church, and then when you go back, you can go back to your home church. We have something called an associate membership for that. All right, that's what being a covenant community is about, being committed to one another. In the past, Pastor Dennis talked about how the idea of membership is all throughout Scripture. You'll find it all throughout Scripture. The idea of membership is all throughout Scripture. What does that mean? Basically, what he meant was that God is committed to us, and we also need to live in a community where we're committed to each other. That's what it meant. All right? So, again, we are a community. We are a covenant community, and we are a covenant community that needs to be concerned for one another. Let's go back to verse 32. It says, "Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need." The last point with regard to the covenant community, when we're describing what the community is about, what the covenant community is about, is that it needs to be characterized by concern for one another. We need to be committed to each other, and we need to have a growing concern, a growing heart, a growing desire to care for one another. Here, the way that the church did it in the past was that they thought about each other so much, they were concerned each other for each other so much, that they knew the people that had need. They knew who had need. And so for us here, why do we pray for each other? Why do we even ask for prayer requests? It's so that we would know what each other's needs are. And yeah, we could possibly sell our belongings and help each other. Yeah, we could use the church's offerings to help each other. That's possible. And we do that. But then we need to continue, not only just through the church, but then also individually, we need to be concerned for each other and to be helping each other out, helping to grow in the Lord together. A deeper concern for each other rather than just sitting next to each other. All right. Well, that's what the covenant community is about. We all have gifts. We all have abilities. We all have things that we can contribute to this church. And so if we can be devoted to fellowship, the true idea of fellowship is being in a covenant community that has a concern for one another. If we can be devoted to this, our church will be a church that affects the city and this world. But there are dangers to this covenant community. There are dangers. And I'm going to go through this next section pretty fast. But I want you guys to get the main point of what the danger is. All right? So afterwards, we hear about how there's this guy named Barnabas and how he sold everything that he had. And he said, look, this is the money that I got from selling my property, and I want to give it to the needs of the people. So here you go, apostles. I want to give it to the leadership, and I entrust this to the leadership of the church so that the leadership will be able to distribute it well. And then we come to an example of Ananias and Sapphira, who is the exact opposite of Barnabas. You know, Ananias and Sapphira were people that were supposed to be believers. They were part of the church. And what they did was that they sold their property, and they decided among just the husband and wife, they decided themselves, we want to keep a portion of it, but then let's take the rest of this money and say that this was the cost of the property that we sold. Say that that was the amount, and we'll give that to the apostles. And they lied while they were keeping a portion for themselves. They lied. What was going on? Basically, if you think about it, they're being selfish. They're being selfish. They're thinking about what their own needs were, and they were thinking, if we could just keep a portion of that money could help us so much. But not only were they thinking about the money, they were thinking, if we can tell the people that we sold all of our property for this amount, not including this, then maybe they'll have a better view of us. Maybe they'll approve of us more. They'll think that we're great people. And so because of all of these temptations, they ended up lying to the leaders. Why? Why did they do this? Why? Because they were more concerned about their own needs, their own desires, than the community's needs and desires. You guys see that? I think the largest danger of a covenant community is not going to be persecution from the outside. The danger for our community here is when we begin to be selfish and start to think for ourselves and not for the community. When we talk about being committed to each other, we need to be committed to looking out for each other, not for ourselves. And that's what Ananias and Sapphira, that's where their mistake was. They were thinking about their own desires, their own hearts, their own hopes of recognition, of having financial stability, maybe. They're looking out for themselves. What really happened here? Well, it says in verse 3 in chapter 5, it says, Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? What's going on here? Satan was coming and tempting Ananias and Sapphira, saying, look, you need to look out for yourself. You need to look out for your own needs. And what did they do? They fell into that temptation. Yes, Satan was involved in it, but then was it Satan's fault? It was Ananias and Sapphira's own sin because they fell into that temptation. Satan will come and tempt. Satan will continually come and tempt us to look out for our own selves and forget our community here. This is a temptation. I'm telling you guys right now. I'm declaring to you guys right now. This is a temptation from Satan. If you feel the temptation to just look out for yourself first and forget about the community here. What was the result? Well, we read from the story. There was discipline that occurred. And the way that it occurred in this story was that they dropped down and died. Now, I'm not going to say that if you look out for yourself first and not for the community, that you're going to drop down and die. I'm not going to say that. Okay? It's possible, though. It happened. But I'm not going to say that that's what's going to happen every single time. But there is room for church discipline. There is a need. We will fall into sin. We will fail. And there will be a need for the leaders to come up to you or maybe other people to come up to you and say, hey, I think you're looking out for yourself more than you're looking out for our community. I think you're falling into sin here. And there will be times for that. And I hope that when you guys do receive that discipline of just having your sin pointed out, that you will take that as love. Be Because that's us looking out for you and saying, look, you've fallen into Satan's temptations, but we want you to come back into our community and look to the Lord again. Now, I don't want to give you guys the wrong idea and say that, for example, you need to look out for this community before your family, before your job, before your studies. Because those things are important. Your family is important. Your job is important. Your studies are important. All of these things are important. But then if you're so focused on your family that it causes you to neglect the community, then there might be something wrong there. If you're so focused on your job that it causes you to neglect this community, then there might be something wrong there. If you're so focused on your studies that you're beginning to neglect the community here, there might be something wrong there. And so I ask you guys to begin to think about these things. How much are you committed to this community? Now, I just want to go real quick through some practical things. That was the danger that we talked about, that we would look out for ourselves. And we've been talking about this in past weeks, where we look to our own hopes and our own desires, and we constantly chase after those things, but then we need to repent. We need to stop, reflect on what's going on, repent, turn back to the Lord, and then constantly reflect to one another what God is doing in our lives. Right? We talked about this before, how that temptation is constantly there to look to our own hopes and our own desires, to be selfish. But how do we build up our community now? How can we turn our focus back to the Lord and begin to be concerned for our church, specifically at Friendship? How can we do that? I want to give you guys a few practical things. Number one, join membership. Number two, join a community group. We have multiple community groups going on every single week. Join a community group. The way that my wife and I, we worked it out in the past was we had little kids and we didn't really have anyone to help us out for a period of time. And so what we decided was I will go to one community group while she stays home and watches the kids. And another night, she'll go out to another community group while I stay home and watch the kids. You could do things like that. That's okay. Or there's another community group where the husbands watch all the kids one week and the wives meet. And then the next time, all the wives meet together. And then did I just say that? You guys know what I mean. Another practical thing, give yourselves to serve in the church. We've been talking about how we have a need in hospitality, in our hospitality ministry. Give yourselves to the church to serve. And if you're afraid to like reach out, or you don't know how, or you just keep forgetting, maybe at least be open to say yes if someone asks you for help. You know, that's a good first step. All right, another practical thing: forgive one another. When you are hurt by people in this church, seek to forgive each other. Now, I know that it's hard when you get hurt. And the first thing that you might think is, I want to leave this church. I don't know if I could stay in this church because of what that person did to me. But I want to suggest that maybe instead of thinking, let's try to be a perfect church where we don't hurt each other, rather than that, let's think, we are a church that's filled with sinners. And eventually we might hurt each other. And that's normal. That's normal. But what's more important is, what do we do after we've been hurt? Do we seek to forgive? Do we seek to reconcile? I think that's more important. All right? Forgive one another. Receive church discipline as a form of love. I already talked about this. And so these are the things that are some practical things of how you can contribute, how you can be committed to Friendship here. Now, some of you guys might be sitting here thinking, that's so difficult, though. It's so hard. I have deadlines that I need to meet. My kids are crazy at home. I don't know if I could leave them with my husband. It's just difficult, right? I don't know if I could get along with the people at church. It's difficult. But I want to remind us of a different verse where Jesus was speaking to his disciples. And it comes from John chapter 13, where Jesus gives a new command. And he says, I'm going to give you guys a new command, and it's this: to love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, if you guys love one another, by this, the world will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. And so, church, if we're able to love one another here, if we're able to be committed together here, if we're able to be a covenant community here, where we're caring for our children and growing together in the Lord, where we have enough concern for each other, where we're growing together, then the world will notice. People will begin to know that Jesus Christ is really alive and real. And we need to think about, it's hard to be a committed member. It's hard to be this church together. How can I continue to love someone that has hurt me? But think about what Jesus said. He said, love one another as I have loved you. What Jesus says is, you were an enemy to me. You continue to sin against me. You continue to show that you want to betray me, that you hate me, that you rather would go after your own life than come after me. That's what you continue to show me. But you know what? I still love you. And I'm willing to give everything of myself to die for you, because I want this relationship with you. That's the kind of commitment that Jesus Christ showed to us. And his command is this: as I have loved you, love one another. In this way, if we are able to love one another, we can be a body together demonstrating his love to the world. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this time that we could look to your word and see how your people did fellowship with one another. And Lord, I pray that we would constantly look to you, that we would constantly look to our Lord Jesus Christ and how he demonstrated his love for us. And so that not because we're forced to, not because we are required to, but Lord, because we want to, because of your commitment to us, that we would want to commit to each other. Lord, I pray for all of us here that we would look to your love and that we would seek to love one another here. Thank you, dear Lord, for your word. I pray that you would bear your fruit, your word, your fruit in each person's heart here today. I pray in Jesus Christ's name.